Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is my last preaching for 2017. Yay. Oh, you guys are just as excited as me. So I will not be preaching anymore in 2017. So this is my last sermon for 2017. By the way, there's only two Sundays left anyway, so. And as I began to reflect of the year that I've had to come, and I've reflected of the year that's gone through, this is where this message has really resonated in my heart, and I've really felt that I have to preach it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. So shall it be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers. So this is a generational story. This is a generational promise. God brings you into the land in which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, few out wells which you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. This is a scripture where God is saying, I want to show you something. I made a promise to generations prior to you. I made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's speaking to Moses here. I've made a promise. And even though things have not panned out the way they should have, God is telling them right there and then, I'm keeping my promise. See, he was giving this to a generations, and he's trying to tell this generation, so I want to speak this over 2018 of ICC. Land and territories that you have not built are going to be yours. Houses filled with things that you have not paid for are going to be ours in Jesus' name. Fruits and food that we will not plant, we will take flourishment from. That is what God is saying. I've spoken that into the generations, but it's coming because God is a promise keeper. If he spoke it, it's happening. And see, God is saying, I made a promise and I always keep my promises. Church, I need you to understand. ICC, we need to get this. God is a promise keeper. Your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, everyone around you may fail to keep their promises, but the God that we serve, he is a promise keeper. He will set it. He's going to do it. You and I have to make a decision. Is it going to happen when I'm here? So you can be so worried about what didn't happen this year. You can be so worried about what you thought was going to happen in 2017. You maybe had an expectation. We're about to go off into January and we're going to about to start a 21-day fast. As I began to look over my 21-day fast of the things that I put on there, there were things that I had not expected God to do. I was just a small statement. And then there's times where I've looked at that fast and gone, God, nothing. You did nothing from what I asked him that fast. Maybe this year you thought it was just going to happen and it never happened. You thought this year would be different. But I'm here to tell you that God is faithful. It's not just a song we sing half an hour before we start preaching. It is the truth. It is gospel. It is written in his word. It is so true that, like you heard last week, when we screwed it up as people, he said, I've got another plan, and he sent Jesus. So the truth is, Christmas, as much as it's become such a focal point for the rest of the world about gift giving and about their holidays, we as the church of God, we need to make a full stop and go, but do you know the truth about Christmas? So you don't understand that when we messed it up, when we didn't see it happening, God said, you know what? I've got a plan. I have to bring my original plan back in. And guess what? I'm sending my son, and he's going to come down in a lofty manger, and he is going to bring the Savior of the world, and his name will be Emmanuel. And his name will be Promise Keeper, and his name will be Peacekeeper. That is who's coming to that earth. So you can focus on Santa and all the things that are happening around it, or you can say, but do you know about the truth of what that manger is? Because that manger is the reason I still have hope. That manger is the reason I can still come to church and say, I don't understand the timeline. I don't understand how God's going to do it, but my God is faithful. That manger reminds me that he's faithful, that there's always another plan up his sleeve. It doesn't matter how much I've lost it this year. There is a manger in front of everywhere I go that says that is the promise. He knew that I'd muck it up. He knew that I would make promises that I would not keep to him. He knew all of that. And now this year he's going, but there's a manger always at the center of your picture, Mirella. There's a center and there's a manger in that picture. If he said it, I'm telling you it's happening. Because what you and I need to understand is that this story that God spoke to, Deuteronomy chapter 6, so shall it be when the Lord your God brings you into the land. This is Cana he's talking about. It's the land where the Israelites were supposed to have everything that God had promised. Cana was supposed to be filled of large cities that they did not build, filled of houses, of things that they did not buy. It's supposed to be filled of things that they did not have to work at, vineyards and fruits that they did not have to plant. That was Cana for them. But something happened on the journey. In 2017, maybe full of maybes and questions and why nots and how did this happen? But I'm here to tell you on my final sermon for 2017, you need to let that go. If there's one thing you remember from this is let it go. Because Cana is still there. Cana is still there. And the promises of God still remain. If a promise is spoken over you, God has every intention to give it to you. See, in Cana chapter 6, God spoke and said, I promised a land to your fathers. So let me talk to you about that land in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Go back 6 chapters. These are the words of Moses that he spoke to the people of Israel. And while you're in the wilderness east of the Jordan River, they were camped in the Jordan Valley near Sphur, near Para on one side, and Tophel, Lamam, Hazroth, and Divan and the other. I laughed at this when I was studying it because it goes through all the valleys and then it just says the other. I was like, as if the other names aren't hard enough to pronounce. Can we just say all the other mountains? They camped in the Jordan. Now, verse 2. This is Moses talking. Normally, it takes 11 days. Imagine Moses standing here going, ICC, this is supposed to take 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, going from the way of the mountain. But verse 3 says, but 40 years later, the Israelites left Egypt, and on the first day of the 11th month, Moses addressed the people of Israel, telling them everything the Lord had commanded. So Moses is talking to them. He's addressing them. I want you to understand something. He's saying to them, again, I need you to understand that when we left that land, there was a promise that God spoke. And we were sent on an 11-day journey. But even 40 years into this journey, you have to understand, Cana is still waiting for you and I to go there. He's saying it hasn't changed. There is, everything is still in its place. All the terrains are in its place. Everything is still there. You and I have taken 40 years to do an 11-day trip. It's not by coincidence that it's written in the Word. This should have taken 11 days. It wasn't just for fun. This was specific. It should have only been 11 days. But 40 years later, Moses is saying, we're still here. This should have taken us 11 days to travel. But 40 years into the same trip, we're still here. See, Moses is trying to tell them, whatever you're feeling and experiencing, it's wilderness. It doesn't make sense. But Cana's still there. The promised land is still there. We can go around and around and around and around and around and around. But Cana never moved. It never shifted. It was always there. It's always been there. You and I got stuck in the wilderness. See, 430 years they were in slavery. Generations were born into this lifestyle of slavery. The word slavery means bondage. And the word bondage means this: to be subject to an external power. So for years, for 430 years, entire generations born and died in slavery. They were subjected to this external power, Pharaoh, the Egyptians, Satan. But I want to tell you that in one day, God said it was over. 430 years, the external power kept its hold over them. But in one day, God said it was over. It was time to come out. God's plan was then from that day that for the next 11 days, he would begin to work on his people. So for 430 years, the enemy had a grip, had bondage, had subjected them to his power. And God said, for the next 11 days, I'm going to work on you. I want to break every bondage off your life as I take you to the promised land. So God was saying, for the next 11 days, guys, I'm going to work on you. I'm going to remove everything the enemy did to you. I'm going to remove everything the enemy possessed on you. I'm going to remove it. And I can do it in 11 days. For 430 years, I can remove it in 11 days. And in those 11 days, you're still moving to victory. See, there was no point God just stopped them there. He said, on the 11-day journey, when you finish the 11-day, you're going straight into a promised land. So as I take you to the promised land, I'm going to start working on you as a woman of God, as a man of God, as a child of God. I'm going to start working on you for 11 days, God says. I'm going to just do it in 11 days. But every day, you're getting closer to the promise, closer to the promise. 11 days is all God needed. I'm going to remove it. For everything that you are going through this year in 2017, I'm telling you, God is planning to put an end to it. And next year can be the year. There is 21 days left of 2017. You and I make a choice. Are we going to stay here for 21 days or are we going to progress through the end of this year and go, 2018, you better get ready for me because I'm coming in and I'm coming in stronger than I've ever been in 2017. I'm ready because Cana never moved. Cana's still there. It's a promised land for me. It's full of great things. It's full of cities and powerful things. It's mine, says the Lord. It was spoken to me and I didn't take it in 2017, but I need to let go of what happened in 2017. It didn't happen, but I got 21 days to go. You better be ready for me 2018 because I'm coming and I'm coming in strong this year. I have not seen Cana, but guess what? This is the year I'm going to see it. Even though it hadn't gone to what we thought it should have had, God says, I'm not going to change my plan. My plan is that my people will always be prosperous. If you will make a decision, I'm going to prosper you. But you need to work out. I need to remove the bondage that has been set upon you because you can't handle 2018 if I don't do what I need to do in the next 21 days. Are you ready for what 2018 comes? See, what you need to understand, that even though it was only supposed to take 11 days, in that wilderness of 40 years, they saw the most supernatural power of God that has been known to mankind. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, it says that the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain. Not just going to place it there. I'm going to bring it down like rain. As you've been in rain, it comes from every direction. I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain amount every day. That was biblical. Where else have you heard that bread fell out of the sky? When did that happen? In the wilderness. God, why am I in the wilderness? I'm providing a manna that you've never seen. Supernaturally, I will cause you to never starve in this wilderness. There is nothing in the wilderness. There is nothing. Everything that goes to the wilderness dies in the wilderness. But yet, when God's in the wilderness, manna falls out of heaven. 3 million people in the wilderness and no one ever got sick. How do you, 40 years and no one got sick. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 15 says, the Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases that you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on those who hate you. Come on, are you here with me, ICC? Did you hear that? The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict you on the horrible diseases that you knew in 2017, but he'll inflict them into everyone who hates you. Come on. My God is an amazing God. And for 40 years, their clothing and their shoes in Jesus' name never wore out. Bring back those builders. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 says, for these 40 years, your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not blister or swell. In the 40 years, God says, you don't understand. I'm going to let you see me like you've never seen me before. He provided water from a rock so that they would not go thirsty. He provided a cloud that would go with them during the day to protect them from the heat, and then he would cause a fire by night to keep them from war. Listen, church, he opened the ocean into two and let them walk through it. That all happened in the 40-year reign of them in the wilderness. Don't tell me that God has just let you go. He's been supernaturally been blessing you and trying to get through to you, saying, I am here. I understand they're in a journey, but I want you to understand. Look what Deuteronomy 29, 5, 6 says. I did these things so that you would realize that I am your God. He's saying, I have to break a bondage over you that has been there for 430 years. But I need to tell you right now, I did these things. Not so that you could just understand that you're a God. You need to understand you serve a supernatural God. Everything from in here, you have to understand I am superior to the sun and the moon. I am superior to the water. I am superior to the land. I'm superior to the wilderness. I'm superior to the storm you're going to face. I am superior to every element that you're about to face, because I want to do that for you, because I am your God. I am chosen to be your God. You may be in the wilderness, but God is still there. In 2018, we will go through storms. We will go through wildernesses. We'll go through hardships. But guess what? God's in there. God's right there. He knows they're about to happen. He knows everything that's about to happen. He knows everything that you have had to go through this year. He knows exactly what is about to happen. He's in the wilderness, church. He's in the hardship. But he's supernaturally going to take you through every chapter this year. Everything he did for them, he'll do for you and I. And they might be the most incredible times of your year. This year I've seen God be more faithful than I've ever seen him in my whole life. And do you know when those faithfulness came through? Is when I didn't understand. This year I've had 3 surgeries. 3. I had no clue that was going to unfold in my 2017. No clue. But I saw God supernaturally shift, bypass surgeons, bypass everybody. And he's like, that's my daughter you're about to touch. I'll come in. You go with your hands, but I'll go in underneath your hands and I'll do protection. That's what my God did. I wasn't aware of what I was about to go through, but God was well aware of what was going to, you know, his timing was perfect. His timing was perfect. I'm going to sit there and go, how on earth could that happen? Or I could say, you know what? Every time I went through it, God was right there in the middle of it. He went over and above anything I could have humanly know. But for some reason, it's easier to believe that even though God has done that, we wonder this year, will God do it? What's going to happen next year? Is it going to change next year? God can split the ocean in two. He can make water come out of a rock. He can drop fruit out of heaven. But maybe you're not sure if he can do that again next year. But I want to tell you, you need to get 2017 out of you, because victory of 2018 needs to come inside of you, because Cana is still around the corner. For everyone else after that generation that died in the wilderness, they all took 11 days to get from one mount to the next. It's still only an 11-day journey. But maybe you've allowed hurt, pain, disappointment to take you back into bondage. Maybe you've been so hurt, disappointed with people, with God, with issues, with experiences. And through that, you have allowed them to take you back into the bondage, because it's allowed to have the external power take control again. See, everything the enemy does to you and I is external. He has no power on the inside. Because my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So every time a surgeon laid hands on me, they were touching the Holy Spirit. So there was nothing internally that they could do. Everything that was going to come was an external thing. Everything that came my way was externally from a mistake that had happened from human hands. Everything that happens to you is an external attack from the enemy. So he has power, and I spoke about this, he has power to try to influence you, but he has no authority to actually do it. He has power to try and influence you to do it, but he actually has no authority to actually do it. unless you open that door for him. And see, for the people of Israel, grumbling, complaining, murmuring, shame, anger, bitterness, they were all the entry points. They were the entry points. God says, tell them to stop, let go, let them lose it. But because they didn't, it became entry points for the enemy to come back and to take them back into bondage. So you might be thinking, gosh, that was a bit much. That's a bit harsh of God. But see, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 says this. Don't let your sin, don't let sin in by getting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Listen to verse 27. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. So but this is the scripture where it's all about the weapons and it's about the putting on the armor of God. But he was saying, but even after all of those weapons and after all of that armor, you have to understand that even your anger is a foothold. You're grumbling, you're complaining, you're holding back, your bitterness, whatever that is a foothold. It is an external entry point for the enemy to come in. And all those entry doors are so powerful, it will kill your entire generation. Don't underestimate the door that you are giving over to the enemy. It will kill your entire generation. An entire generation died in the wilderness. Each door has an intention. And we've been speaking a lot about this year, about the doors that we allow. But each door has an intention. You didn't have an intention. You just couldn't get over your anger. You couldn't get over your hurt. You couldn't get over your disappointment. But it's a door. But each door is opened. It has an intention. Its intention is to steal, kill, and to eventually destroy you. That's its only intention. But it will be out to steal, kill, and to destroy you. And not only you, but your entire generation. But God's blessing is still over you. It's still spoken. It's still what God has said. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, he said this to Moses. Everywhere you will place your foot, it will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the Euphrates rivers of the Mediterranean Sea. He said, Moses, you've got to understand, everywhere you put your foot, I want to bless you. From the desert to the wilderness to the Mediterranean Sea, I want you to see every chapter of your life being blessed by, I'm going to give it to you. This is it. You're going to be fruitful. But because of the amount of entry points into the generation, it killed them. So God never changed. So guess what he did? He went to Joshua and said to Joshua, I need to tell you something that I spoke to Moses. And he said in Joshua chapter 1 verse 3, I will give you everywhere, every place where you set your feet as I promised to Moses. It's never changing. God said a promise, he's going to bring its fulfillment. He made a promise, he's going to bring its fulfillment. He's going to bring it fulfillment. He's going to bring its fulfillment. I don't know what right now in your head is stirring up inside of your thoughts right now, but God is bringing that to fulfillment. He said it to Moses, and Moses had so many people allowing entry points for them. So this morning, I just want to go around and slam some doors shut in the enemy's face. You may have hurt. Maybe you've got disappointment. Maybe you've had something go through you. But this morning, I want you to slam that door shut. And I'm going to say, it's done. It's done. It's done. You're not coming through. 2018 is 21 days away. I need to deal with you right now because you are not coming through. Because when I let you through, you're coming through to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't need to know what I'm going to do. You have got one intention, and I had for one intention. I have to close you right now. I have to close you. You haven't got touch. You can't touch my generation. You can't touch my generation. You cannot touch my generation. And so God said to Joshua, the promise I'm about to make to you, I made that to Moses, but it never was fulfilled. So I need to fulfill that through you. Joshua, this is how we do it. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. We're standing at the door of 2018. And you and I have a choice to focus on what didn't happen or what we expected, or where we can realize that we are standing at the entry point of an opportunity to do it again. You and I have another chance. As a little girl, I've heard my father preach this over and over. What New Year's supposed to resemble is there is a clean canvas, and you and I get to redo it all over again. But the choice is, are we going to take what we had last year and use that on this year's pattern? Or are you going to get a pattern and go, I'm going to cut out a new pattern this year. I'm going to cut out something new about my life. The canvas is completely blank. And God's saying, it's your choice now. Do you want to add that door back in? Do you want to add that hurt, that pain, that disappointment? Because if he said he's going to promise you to see a fulfillment, guess what? He's going to bring a fulfillment. That's what his word is. He's going to bring it to completion, says the Lord. I'm the author. I'm the beginner. I'm the finisher. I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the one who breathed the stars into their place. I'm the one who told the ocean to open up. I'm the one who dropped the manna from heaven. I told the rock to start praising me. I called them to come through. That's what I do. So your little promise, your little problem, God says, I'll look after that little detail in your life. That is the God you serve. Deuteronomy said, that's because I want you to know who you serve this morning. You did not give up 2 hours on a Sunday morning just to go to church. You came to see that you're going to spend time with the Creator King, the one who said that he's going to make my promises come to pass. That's what I've done for 2 hours. I've stood in the promise, in the presence of my God, and said, you're faithful. You're faithful, God. You're faithful, God. And I can focus on what didn't happen or why did it happen this year. Or I can stand here and go, you're faithful, God. You're faithful, God. You can do it again, God. You can do it again, God. You can and you will. You'll do it again. But I'm not going to leave this for my generation. I'm going to take this. I'm going to be Joshua. I'm going to be Joshua this year. I'm going to be Joshua this year. You speak that over me, God, because I want to be Joshua. I don't want to hear the promises from somebody else. I want you to speak over my life. It's time, ICC. If we are going to go where God is calling us as a church, very few churches are going to go where we're going to go in 2018. So we have to be ready to link arms together as an army. We have to stand strong. If we are going to make a decision that we're going to go to the gates of hell and we're going to rattle everything that happens in our life, saying that is not a God move, and we're going to shout the praises of our King. They walked out. When they walked out of Egypt, they praising. The Bible says, I haven't had time. It says they came out singing and praising. Has someone stolen your joy this morning? Have you got to the end of 2017 and there's nothing left for you to sing? Because I'm telling you one thing, God never changed. He's still the same God. He's still the same God. He's still faithful. He's still faithful. He's still promising. This morning, the choice is yours. The choice is mine. What are we going to do with another year set before us? Are you happy to just study away and just let it go? Because what happens if this is your last year on earth? Do you know how many people this year thought and made 5-year plans, 10-year plans, and didn't even get to 2 or 3 year mark? You and I have a choice. We stand before the throne room of God this morning. If this is your last Sunday on earth, are you sure? You will worship the Savior King, the one in that manger, with no accolades, with no party, with no big triumph around him. He came as a manger. The way he came into this world is the way he left. With no one, but a few people, as they took him to the cross. But every single time he was saying, I made a promise to my people. I made a promise to my people. I made a promise to my people. And when you know the Bible talks about where God had to turn his face from Jesus on the cross, it's because he had made a promise to his people. He made a promise and he's like, son, I've got to keep my promise. I've got to keep my promise. That is what Easter is about. But can you and I look at every manger scene this coming Christmas and realize that's a promise? That's a promise. That's a promise for me. That's a promise for me. Can I get the worship team to come back up? And just as they prepare, I just want you to, if this is resonated in your heart, I want you to just lift your hands in preparation. Because we're going to do that one there. Do it again. We're going to do that as a celebration song. But before we do that, we need to shut the doors. So while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, if you know that there is stuff in your life, if you know, hurt, obedience, disobedience, pain, and look, I'm the first one to lift my hands up. You've realized, as I read in that scripture, you've allowed that to be a foothold. If that's you, well, every eye is closed and every head is, why I do that is because it's between you and God, and I want you to get a moment of what it's going to feel like when it's just you and God. Because the Bible talks about every single person will see God. And there's not going to be a crowd around you, no husband, no wife, no children, no friends, no pastors. It will be just purely you and God. So I want you to bring that into reflection right now. And I want you to begin to recognize that, God, I allowed that to happen. I've held on to this disappointment. And you don't realize that maybe Cana was supposed to come to you in October. Maybe it was supposed to come to you in September. Maybe you were supposed to walk into Cana in August, but you never did. And this morning you realize why it didn't happen, because the 40 years is still going. Grumbling and moaning, that's all it is. But God says, I need to take that bondage off. It's an external power that needs to be removed. If you know what that door is, would you just lift your hand? I don't need to know about it. You just need to lift it. God, I'm closing that door on anger. I'm closing that door on disappointment. I'm closing that door on fear. Because the Bible says that fear does not belong to Him. Someone needs to close the door on anxiety. Anxiety has gripped you stronger than it's ever gripped you in your life. But you've been in that anxiety way too long. God says, I want you to let that go in 2017. Otherwise, it will come across. But if you do it right now, let that door close right now. Anxiety needs to stop. That's a double-minded spirit. Just lift it up if you've recognized the door that needs to shut in your life. I just feel the Spirit saying, there is so much disappointment. There was an expectation. There's an expectation that just didn't come to pass. If that's you, lift your hands in the presence of your Father, of your Maker, your Promise Keeper. Lift your hands in the presence of your Promise Keeper. God, this didn't go as expected. But an external power has no authority inside of me. Because from the inside coming out, speaks truth of God. It speaks love. It speaks peace. It speaks understanding. It speaks knowledge. It speaks wisdom. That's what comes from the inside out. So it needs to speak. You can't take a grip on me, anxiety, because I have a spirit that is silent in the presence of my God, that rests in the presence of my God. So anxiety does the exact opposite. It stirs you up. It makes everything part of you. Just get anxious about everything. But yet the things from the inside coming out says, you will sit near still water and be refreshed. He said, even in the wilderness, I will cause rivers to come. What is that door? You need to shut that door. Shut the doors this morning. Just shut those doors this morning. In Jesus' name.